You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to this basketball-only edition of Bison Report Radio. We hope that doesn't scare you guys off, but shouldn't. The boys are hot. Don't let the boys get hot as we get closer and closer to March. You've heard our national championship preview. You've heard the bench warmers. This is a hoops edition. We mentioned that Nate and I would get together before the USD game this Saturday. And boy, do we have a basketball game to break down from Thursday night. Joining me now, Mr. Nate Zastro. Nate, how are you, buddy?
We're doing well, especially after last night. What a game. And these boys are showing some fight. And it was easy to just kind of lay down after the start SDSU had. But you knew in a rivalry game, and a lot of these games have been close, and it was great to come away with a close win against them after not having great history here in the last 10 games against them.
No, I think you sent me 2-8 in the last 10. Not what you love to see, especially against the Rabbits, but the post Griesel, Edie, Cruiser, Shireman, Wilson era of this rivalry round one goes to the Bison, who, by the way, were competing without the services of one Tejavis Miller. Tejavis, the normal true freshman starting two guard, fighting a little bit of a back issue, per source. Nothing that they're considering long term, but just wasn't quite moving around, tweaked it in practice, and they are cautiously optimistic that Javis will be able to go against USD. We should be able to get there earlier. I should be able to get there early tomorrow and see who is and isn't warming up. So should be able to hopefully provide. I know he was going to try to practice today. Today being Friday, you guys getting this pod Saturday. I know they were going to try and get Javis warm and get him going on Friday to potentially play Saturday. Also, I believe Mike McFeely of the Forum reporting that coach is a little bit of football, but coach Matthew Entz got an additional year tacked onto his deal by virtue of making the national championship yet again. So coach Entz is under contract at North Dakota State through 2026. That is a long-term agreement, obviously, between North Dakota State and Coach Ant. So congratulations to Matt on, continued security. We do love to see it. He's doing an excellent job. I don't know, Nate. I think I'd like to just talk about Grant's dunk and then be done. We won't. But what was your reaction? Where were you?
I was in my living room, and my kid and wife were playing some game, Snacky Squirrel or something, and I'm sitting there trying to watch the game, and I see that dunk, and I can't tell you how many times I've watched it with the sound on. And Darian says to me, "What game are you watching?" I'm watching the dunk again. I mean, that's literally how it was. And I've watched it a lot. And it reminds me, I don't know if you were at the BSA when Trayvon Wright had that tip slam where I have like the photo of how high he is above the rim, but I think that it's up there with that one. And it might even top it. And that was even a teammate of mine. But that, I mean, just the way he went around someone and off 1 foot and just in traffic, cocked it back. And yeah, it was unbelievable. And it was at a huge point in the game. I don't know if it put him up to or it tied the game, but that's something that gets the crowd going, that gets the team going. They needed to get a big stop. And that play obviously didn't win the game, but I think that it was a key point down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it was for sure. And you know, we've talked about it on BR, or we've tweeted it. Like, you've seen it. If you're listening to this, you're enough of a Bison fan, you've seen it. I have word that they being NDSU, they have the photos. They just haven't released the photos. I think the creative team is trying to find something to do with that one. But it's just like, I've seen Rocky do some really heinous stuff to people. During the COVID year, he got somebody on TCU bad. And I think he had another good one too. Grant's obviously had a couple, but man, at home, I wish the house was packed. Screw you, Summit League, for making it this week. It was just disgusting again. But home crowd, that situation, good game. And man, like you said, Dentlinger never had a chance and tried to go back at him and like airballed a dunk, which was kind of insane in the last 2 minutes of the game. But just on the biggest poster I've ever seen in my life. And Grant's so wild just because he's a good athlete. And I don't think people understand that just because he's 6'11". Like, he can get up, and then you just talk about the length of his limbs and the hand-eye coordination and where he can take off from, and just looked like Inspector Gadget or even Michael Jordan at the end of Space Jam, just reaching out for that. Really, really crazy. But other things happened in this game besides Grant Nelson dunking on the entire state of South Dakota, all their residents, Governor Noem, all of them. Crammed on everyone. Jakari White instead of Bowden on Zeke Mayo. That was the most interesting thing that I saw last night. And I gotta say, shout out Jakari White. I mean, that was impressive for a young man. Jakari listed at, I want to say he's noticeably taller than I am. I would guess he's 6'3". Let me guess what they. Let me see what they. Yeah, 6'3", I'll buy that. I will actually buy that. But not like 6'5", with long arms. You know, it's not Sam, you know, so you're on mute, big dog. Oh, okay. I just was impressed with the way he was able to defend and get up into Mayo. I think 13 points, but on 17 shots, 5 of 17 from the field for Zeke. And when you have teams like that, especially without Luke Apple, because Dentlinger's like fine, you know, I thought, especially once he became the backup five for them, not athletic, but can occasionally knock down a three, which that was crazy, but whatever. But you know, could hit an elbow jump shot and give you a little right hook over left shoulder, grab a couple boards, not get killed on post defense. Probably not a guy you want to put in screen and roll, but like, he was a fine backup five when they started Douglas Wilson at center. What he isn't is Luke Apple. Like, you don't just throw the ball into him and watch what happens. That's not how Matt Dentlinger's game works. So you kind of got Mims and Arians, and they're just guys. They're fine. They're nice little college guards, but they don't create offense, which is something that we saw last night. And it's like, okay, take Zeke Mayo out of the game. You're going to win the game. And that's what I did. And I like I said, I was surprised that it was Jakari and not Bowden.
Yeah, but I do agree that Jakari was going to get more minutes, and I know we've talked about it. And he's been more of an offensive spark in previous games. And tonight, you could tell Coach Richmond put put him into a different role. And I know we talked about in the press conference. I know we talked about in the press conference, 1-for-9, but he was the biggest key to the win because of his defensive effort. And yeah, you can look at the box score and say, oh, he played like crap. Well, if you really watch the game, you probably won him the game with how tough you made things on him.
Absolutely. Now,
I don't know why he's starting over Bowden.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stuff with Bowden, we can speculate as media and say maybe Dave wants to light a spark under him. Usually you only do that for a game and then put him back in there. I truly think Bowden likes the role of coming off the bench like he did a lot of last year and come in and be a little bit of a scoring threat and defensive stopper. Now, he still played 33 minutes and Waddle's only played 9, so he was basically a starter. So
it was the Dexter Warner treatment. And that's what's interesting to me. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, you wouldn't not start Grant. You wouldn't not start, I don't know. I just feel like at this point, Bowden's earned a starting job. But at the same time, it's some of it's got to be just like what works best. And, you know, I don't know necessarily that it doesn't work better. And I guess if Bowden doesn't start again on, you know, tomorrow, I might ask the question just what the thought process is, especially if it's another situation where they don't have Javis, because Waddles was not necessarily out of the rotation, but like if they go 9 deep and they have everyone healthy, I'm almost certain that 9 is the norm, you know, the 5. So Damari, Javis, Bowden, Grant, Morgs, and then the 4 after that are Jakari, Yoder, Streit, Hostreiter. I think. I mean, it's so hard to kind of grasp all of it. But the other thing that I guess I will say is, I don't know. I mean, because who would you – at this point, you'd have to sit to Javis, right?
Yeah, I think if Tajavis is ready and Bowden really wants to do the bench roll type thing, I think Tajavis just goes in for Waddle and you keep Jakari in and go that route.
And maybe Jakari gets 28 minutes instead of 33.
My ESPN app shown 36. So, I mean, it was a lot of minutes from what we've seen.
You take 10, 11 minutes off Jakari's plate and you give them to Javis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
and Dave's going to start shortening up that rotation. I mean, obviously last night was a huge game, and in bigger games, that rotation is going to be as tight as it's going to be if they really are desperate for a win. That's why you saw 3 minutes from Hoster, 9 from Streit, 6 from Yoder, 9 from Wiles. He's not going to mess around.
That wing combo guard thing is deep and interesting. And when someone finds some consistency, you know, that's, I think, when you might really see what they want to do moving forward, I guess. I thought that was a big punch, man, from South Dakota State. Matthew Moore's, you know, out here like prime Nowitzki for the first couple. And he had some heat check ones. That was kind of wild, though, especially when you look at the final box score. I believe Moore started the game 3-for-3 with 8 points, like before the 17 minute mark. And what did he finish?
Him and the lean kid combined 3-for-15 from the three. And I think we'll take that all day.
Right. But the first two went in, yeah. I think.
Yeah. And then they both kept jacking them, and they were just late contesting, letting them shoot. And I think they were going to live with that. If the FSTC was going to win that game, it was going to be those two guys hitting threes.
Yeah, Broden Lean 1-for-7, Matthew Morris 2-for-8. And like I said, I think Matthew Morris started 2-for-2. By the way, never mind. We'll get into it later because it is on the script. Anyway, but yeah, that was, I thought, a big punch that NDSU took down 11, down 13-5 early. And I'm not saying you're going to curl up in a ball down 13-5, but when you're down 13-5 and the other team is shooting 83% from the field, you can kind of get that here we go again, like, feeling, can you not?
Yeah, and last year I think it was NDSU that got off to the fast start. I think it was like 15 or 17-5, and then SDSU went on that crazy run and went up like 15, 18 points, and then NDSU came all the way back. It was a completely different game, but it was good to see NDSU punch back with a young team. SDSU obviously hasn't played very well offensively, but they're still not a team that you want to let get going. And yeah, that was a quick start, but it was awesome to see how they kind of slowly chipped away and got the thing tied by halftime.
And I think it depends on when you say fine, like what do you mean? What does fine mean? You know, this is a Rabbits team that won out at Boise State. That's an impressive dub. St. Bonaventure, honestly, that's an impressive dub. But they didn't get killed by Arkansas. But yeah, you get blown out by JMU and Noah Friedel. Shout out Noah Friedel. You get blown out by Kent State. You get blown out by Montana. And NDSU lost to Montana, but not like that. I don't know what this team can be in Brookings. And I'm worried about them long term without Apple. Because if your game plan works like NDSU's did, I like the William Kyle kid, but he can't shoot it. I just don't know what Mims and Arians are going to do for you long term if people do start shutting down Zeke Mayo. It's definitely a different group, and that's where I think NDSU has such a roster advantage. If Bowden can get you 20, you've seen it. Jakari can get you 16, 18 quick, and then Morgs and Grant are obvious ones. By the way, Lance Waddles could get you 15 if they ever let him cook a little bit. And there's just offensive upside with NDSU that I don't see at South Dakota State for guys that aren't Zeke Mayo. If you're going to cover him like that, and if you're going to lose Apple, if you're going to lose Charlie Easley, I think the one guy is probably Moores. Like, I think Moores could get you 14 and 8, 15 and 8, 16, like whatever. But that's where I'm at with SDSU. It's like, okay, who besides Zeke Mayo can they turn to? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I've watched them a little bit sparingly this year. The last night was the first like full game I've actually watched of them. I think the biggest thing you take away from them is how much those guys thrived off guys like Douglas Wilson and Shireman. I mean, those guys shot like 45-50% from three, guys like Arians and Easley.
Wide
and those
guys open.
Yeah, I mean, they're open. This year it's a little more difficult and especially with Apple out and Easley still having a good year and shooting a high percentage. And I think the biggest takeaway that I had from last night was, I mean, Zeke Mayo's having to do a lot, and I don't think he's a true point guard. He'd be a really good off-the-ball player, and he's being looked upon to get in the lane and get others involved, and I don't think that's where he's going to thrive. And I think that would be SDSU's biggest need, is to get a point guard to get him off the ball again, because Arians isn't going to be a guy that's just going to blow by or create for others. Easley's not going to be that guy, neither is Mims. But Mayo's getting kind of that ace mistreatment that teams started to do, where, hey, if you're going to score 20 and you're going to get your shots up, you're going to take 25 shots to get it, and that's what happened last night. And it took a while for ORU to get more of a supporting cast around Max, which we're seeing a little bit now, to take a little bit of the load off. But Zeke might be in for a rough rest of the year if they don't get guys like Easley and Apple back.
Right, and I think with I think with Mayo too, like, you could tell Hendo wanted that one. You can't play him 40 minutes, especially not night after night. You just can't.
And not a point guard getting dogged and being counted on to basically do everything offensively.
And credit to Dave. That's NDSU for years has been a half-court gap defense. And Dave was like, go get him. Bowden, Jakari, go get him. Damari, go get him. We'll talk about him in a little bit too. We've been, I think, privately tough on Andrew Morgan. but hey, Dave's basically benched him, called him challenging in kind of a fatherly way. There have been lessons, I guess, with Andrew Morgan, with some of the post game comments. And I think that's been apparent. But boy, that is a kid. You look at these last two games, and my goodness, just, and not even like he's, I think he's still a little bit of a ball of clay. People forget too, he is a true sophomore. Like, there are certainly guys that have been in the program that aren't playing yet at his age. But here, Nate, I got some stats for you. Against UND in Grand Forks and hosting South Dakota State, Morgs is 17 of 26 from the field, 4 of 6 from the line, and has pulled down 21 boards with 3 blocks.
Has he 8 offensive rebounds last night?
I mean, my God. And once he starts getting a whistle, like once people understand how good this human being is, he's something else. And by the way, the most fun thing about it is, and I wish, and I'm sure Grant wishes that he was shooting it a little bit better. Cause right now, if I'm looking at Grant Nelson's percentages, like I would, and just a nasty step back three last night. Grant is shooting 184 from three, and that's not going to hold. But like 1 of 6 from last night, that's not going to hold. Grant shot at 36% as a freshman and 32% last year. He's not going to shoot 190 or you're 19% from downtown all year long. But I think what the fun thing is about Morgs is, yeah, like Grant can go back to the basket, but Grant is so nasty off the bounce and can shoot it and will bring guys out into deep water where they just don't want to be. Like Matt Denlinger guarding Grant Nelson 23 feet from the basket is not a life he wants to live. It's just not. And plus, when Grant gets a running head start, he'll put one on your head, as we have seen. So Morgs as the guy that's so like the black hole. Now he needs to be a lot better passing out of a double team or forcing people to foul him or whatever. But man, he allows Grant to do so many things, and I think will eventually create wide open shots for Bowden and Jakari. And you know, I think if we can get just a little bit more loft on Damari's shot, we'd be cooking with gas.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Morgan all year and how much it ticks us off when he kind of just either finishes soft or looks like he doesn't want to be there. And last night we saw a glimpse of the Morgan that we kind of expected coming out of high school. And like you said, yeah, he's still young, but you could tell by what Dave said in his press conference that he has some maturing to do still. And I can guarantee you that the up and down with the benching and all that is Andrew needs to know that once he hits that practice floor and the game, that it's time to bring it, and he has to bring it every day and do everything that he can. And I bet that's the consistency level is he's not ready to bring it every day at practice. He thinks he only wants to bring it during the games, and Dave's not going to tolerate that because your practice is going to carry over your games. And I can almost guarantee you, if you talk to Dave, he had a very good week of practice this week and it carried over to the game. And I think once Andrew learns that you got to bring it every time you step on that floor, he's going to be someone that's going to create nightmare matchup problems for other teams if Grant can play that four and be somewhat on the perimeter. SDSU's, I mean, USD has Comateros, but SDSU is one of the few teams, I think, that actually has like a Dentlinger, like low post type player, and he ate him alive, like absolutely ate him alive. And if we get that type of player who can maybe step out to 15 feet, I know we saw him hit a three last night, kind of surprised us a little bit. But if he can extend it to 15 feet and be a low post presence and keep being ready to pass out of the post, it's only going to open up the rest of the offense. And Bowden and Tejavis and Waddles and guys like that shooting inside out threes where they're already looking at the basket is going to make their percentages a lot higher as well.
Absolutely. Nate, I'm gonna make you uncomfortable here. I'm going to try and nail you down. Are you coming to Fargo for Oral Roberts, Kansas City? Are you coming to Fargo for UND? Were you wrapping things up in Fargo for St. Thomas? When are you getting to a game?
That's a good question. I think our alumni night is the KC game. So I'm going to try to make it that Thursday, Saturday, if I can. If not, end of the year, and obviously Sioux Falls is an option as well. But I'm not too Ooh. Sure yet.
I like Oral Roberts KC for you. The guest room is open.
I was there last year with the whole debacle that went on with that ORU game. So,
Oh, man, Paul Mills back in town. I forgot.
Can't wait to see him.
With a hot squad, too.
Very hot squad.
Oral Roberts, let's see here. 12-3, my goodness. Undefeated in the league, sure. Beat Missouri State, beat Liberty. Oh, they haven't really. Okay, that's about it though. I wouldn't say they have an impressive.
They got that big 7'5" skinny dude from Arkansas, that Vanover sure. guy. You might remember yeah. he played sparingly. He's averaging 12 a game with Max at 19, and then McBride, who we knew would. Be good is averaging 12, but then you got a bunch of guys averaging 8 and 9 points. They're averaging 85 a game.
Sure. And I will say the most impressive thing they have done is beating South Dakota State by 39.
That was a
goodness. Whew. Yeah, 111 against Central Arkansas. Oklahoma Baptist. I don't know. They got crushed by Houston too. Whatever. We'll see. I'm not ready to bow down.
They still have to come to Sioux Falls, and we are still their father.
Oh, man, I love it. Okay, anyway, the reason I was asking, Nate, is because I wanted to shout out the crowd, and you have no idea what the crowd was like last night because you weren't here, because you don't live here. But, yeah, I was really impressed. Honestly, anybody listening that was at the game, I'm impressed. And I know, like, I talked to Jakari after the game. That's up on the Bison Report Twitter. They appreciated that. The players appreciated that in a huge way. I was really impressed with, you've got folks on their way to Texas. I don't know. Well, I'm sure I could look it up here. Let me take a quick look. But yeah, that's, I just was so impressed with the energy, the intelligence. And I know that sounds like I'm pandering or I'm condescending. I'm not. Not every college basketball crowd knows when to cheer. Okay, they had about 1,700 people there. So it was maybe looked fuller, felt fuller than it was. But I was impressed, man. The way that crowd rocked and rolled last night, after the Nelson dunk, after during the comeback, after the two big knocks from Dentlinger, and we'll talk about that in a second. Man, I was just so impressed with the crowd and the energy and the way that those people were able to make that building feel when, as you mentioned, everyone's on their way to Frisco. So shouts to the basketball crowd. And maybe you could feel that kind of on TV a little bit.
Yeah, you could definitely feel it on TV. And, you know, with a bigger arena now than when I played, I mean, the BSA, for as much as people didn't want to be there, when we were in the conference title race, my senior year with Western and SDSU, those crowds were fun. I mean, they packed the BSA and it was loud. Hopefully this team can start winning and kind of be in the race here towards the end and keep bringing it every game. Because it trust me, players feed off that stuff. Nothing like getting pumped up and having a home court advantage, especially at the mid-major level.
Absolutely. Okay. Wanted to make mention real briefly of Damari Wheeler-Thomas. Damari right now is maybe not your traditional NDSU point guard in that right now he's not a huge bucket getter. Folks think about, you know, Lawrence Alexander, Ben Woodside, Vinny Shaheed, even Sam Griesel to a degree. I shouldn't laugh. That's mean. But not a you know, huge bucket getter. 35% both from the field and from three, shooting about 70% from the line. Here's what I'm impressed by though. In the last 65 minutes of play, which, by the way, is two games, 31 minutes for a true freshman point guard at UND and 34 minutes for a true freshman point guard at South or posting South Dakota State. One turnover, only three assists, but just operating, doing what he's supposed to and operating. I got to say, man, I'm impressed. And by the way, the floor or the ceiling is just he is impressive.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that you mentioned is he hasn't turned the ball over. If you're going to play point guard for an NDSU team, for Richmond, for Saul, you better take care of the ball or you're not going to see the floor. It's not going to matter how much you can score the basketball.
Right.
And while he's not hurting you, and he's defending his butt off. He is not a liability defensively, and he almost gives them a little bit of a spark, kind of like a Des McKinney did as a freshman.
Yeah.
And if he continues out taking care of the ball and can – keep getting in the paint, give a spark here once in a while, and keep defending like he is, he's going to continue to see minutes. I don't see that going away anytime soon now.
No. And I think it's a little bit different than it was with Dez. I think he's maybe not quite the athlete Dez is, maybe not quite the size, but I think he just has more natural skill, especially handling the basketball. He's got that thing on a string, man. I'm very impressed with him and very impressed with the team. And the biggest thing that I wanted to say, and we'll eventually move on to the next game, but the biggest thing, Nate, I wanted to say was how impressed I was with the punch. I mentioned, like, Matt Dentlinger was shooting 111 from three coming into the game. The scouting report, I think, was let him shoot it. And he bangs two. I shouldn't say bangs, because the first one hit the rim three times before it dropped. But he knocks down back-to-back threes and either puts South Dakota State up 7 or 8. I think it was 8, and it was midway through the second half. And the way that this team has lost games, because even after last night, it's tough to shake. They're 5-11. It's still not great. It's moving in a forward direction, but they're 5-11, man. So you almost expect them to turtle, to go into their shell, to take another L, and it just didn't happen. And that's why, like Coach Richmond said after the game, you can start to see my vision for this team. And that's what I was most impressed with, was the back-to-back threes made by a guy who can't shoot and you still just punch back.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with a young team early on is how you respond to adversity. And the sooner you learn how to respond to that, the sooner you're going to be a better team. And you could tell early on that sometimes when NDSU got punched, like in that St. Thomas game, they're playing really well the first half, and they let St. Thomas turn a small run into an 18-0 run that goes all the way into the second half. And that didn't happen last night. And, you know, you let those percentages play out. I mean, guys like Morris, you said, hit two right away. But then he's going to keep shooting more and let those percentages play out. And I know NDSU is probably defensively going to kind of just stick to their game plan. And if he goes and hits 5 for 8, well, then it might not be their night. But it ended up being Lean and Morris going 3 for 15. You got Zeke Mayo going 0 for 5. Aaron's didn't even get off of 3. Mims hits 1 in 36 minutes, and no one else even shot one. And then you got Dentlinger. Just the way they responded to adversity last night like they haven't all year, and that's why they got to come out on top.
Yeah, and this will be a big – I think it has a chance to be a big one moving forward. Coach Richmond has mentioned, like, for example, after Portland, because that was a huge win for them, handling success, the ability to press forward – stack success. And I think we'll see that again. This South Dakota team, which we'll get into a second, but I don't know that how impressed I am with them. They've had some excellent performances that we'll talk about. And then, you arguably, allegedly, Tracy Eaglestaff, the freshman from Bismarck, their fans, their media feel like he got fouled and should have been shooting 3 free throws with the clock dead and have a chance to either tie or win the game. So you go out, almost lose in Grand Forks after what, and again, this is a transitive property of basketball and it doesn't always apply, but man, you go up, watch them losing Grand or just about losing Grand Forks. Then you think about what NDSU did to UND. And I think it's a winnable game. It's a game that I think is winnable. Today, when you're listening to this today, and that'll say a lot about how they're handling success.
Yeah, and South Dakota, I think, is a bit of an underrated team. Former Craig Smith guy, Eric Peterson, was the coach. I think he had something go on or some type of accident and hasn't been coaching here like the past month. But they got some firepower in a multitude of ways with Pearl Hunt, Plitzewhite, Kamateros inside. You got Bruns. Archambault is back from last year. You got a couple other players. They have a lot deeper of a squad than we're used to, but they still got – I'm looking at it right now. They got six guys still playing 27 minutes or more. And that kind of adds up, especially when you're on the road. As far as the other night goes, I think it's just – it's a life on the road in the Summit League, and there's going to be games where are going to be a lot closer than you expect, and you just got to find a way to grind it out. There's going to be nights like that, and we can't treat USD like they just only beat UND by two and we blasted UND last Friday. Because USD, I believe, did we split with them last year or we won both?
I can't remember. I know.
I think we won both last year, but we've kind of had their number a little bit, especially later in the year in the conference tournaments, knocking them out a few years ago, and they're going to want to come beat us. And they got a group of guys with experience, and we definitely, like you said, with Richmond, you got to learn how to handle victory and learn how to have some success, and you can't just rest on, oh, you beat South Dakota State, and now go lay an egg on Saturday. You got to win your home games to compete for a Summit League championship, so they definitely need to be ready to play on Saturday.
Bison Nation, Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota, is licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Arizona, Texas, Missouri, and New Mexico. We are able to do – I'm going to cut that. Got to fix that in a second. Bison fans, I lost this. Okay. What time is it? 37 minutes. Okay. Bison fans, Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota is licensed in North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Arizona, Texas, Missouri, and New Mexico, and able to provide up to 20 different carriers to exactly find your best solution, whether it's business, whether it's for your family, whether it's for yourself, life, health, auto, home, toys, whatever it may be, call Quinn at 701-969-1661 or stop by. Tundra Insurance is immediately south of Big Irv's on the main drag in Horace, and one of the guys will be around to help you. Otherwise, check us out at tundrainsurance.com or on Twitter at Tundra Insurance. Nate, Pearl Hunt hit basically a buzzer beater to beat UND last night, as I mentioned. Trayson Eaglestaff allegedly fouled on a three, not fouled on a three. I didn't have a chance to watch it. Doesn't matter. Wasn't called. But we talked about it a little bit. What do you get out of that? We talked about the transitive property of basketball not always applying, but what are you kind of getting out of a result like that when you're not necessarily scouting, but just trying to kind of figure out what you should expect?
Yeah, I think you just gotta, it's more of the kind of looking at yourself. You got to bring it every night, especially on the road. And I'm kind of looking at the box score here. I mean, USD didn't shoot a terrible percentage, 41%. UND shot 36. I'm trying to figure out how this was even a game, but 13 turnovers to 5 was probably the difference. And USD 6 deep, and I mean, sometimes Pearl Hunt looks like he was in a little bit of a foul trouble. But yeah, it's not easy playing a bad team sometimes when the better of the two on your road trip is a Saturday game. And I know that's easy to say, you got to be more mentally tough, but you've seen UND get absolutely blasted by some teams recently, and I think USD swept their homestand the weekend before, so they're coming off two wins as well. And UND probably was a little motivated and ticked off, had a tough week of practice, and probably came out with a little more fire than they did last Friday, and that kind of showed.
Plitzewhite's back. Doesn't look like the same guy quite yet. 36 assists and 30 turnovers. This was a guy that I thought at the time of his injury was probably the first team all league point guard in the Summit. That's kind of where I was at with him. But he's averaging about 12 a game, both over the course of the season and in conference play. But gets a breather, 21 minutes and 24 minutes last night against UND. So not a guy, obviously, you know, they've got him a little bit on a pitch count. But man, he can be so dynamic.
Yeah, and I mean, you can still see it in his box score that he can shoot the crap out of it, that NDSU better not give him any looks. He's shooting 46% from the floor. He's 50.9 from the three. I mean, you better not let him get a sniff or he's going to make him pay tomorrow. And I know Perot Hunt's their leading scorer, but he's 39%, 37.5 from three. He's going to get his shots up, it seems like. It'd be more of the guy with the ball in his hands. So I think having someone be kind of the no help guy off puts away when Pearl Hunt has the ball is going to be the strategy that NDSU has to go with. Obviously Comateros is going to be a guy inside that we don't want to get going. He can step out to three. I think he might be a Grant matchup more than a Morbs matchup, depending on if he's floating around the perimeter or not.
He's not big time back to the basket. He likes to pick and pop.
Yeah. So I see Grant as that matchup. Now I don't know who their other four man is. I'm guessing that's going to be a little bit of the, Bruns, maybe. I don't know if Bruns is going to step up to the four. I haven't watched him enough, honestly, but I obviously, you know, they're returners. But Putzaway, yeah, I mean, he was first team all league. I think if they beat NDSU in that home game, he got hurt. We're talking about possibly even a player of the year type player that year. So he's definitely someone that who's going to continue to work his way back and definitely a dangerous player that we can't let get going.
Yeah, and that's why I think Bruns was coming off the bench. They are deep at guard and wing. That was kind of the, I don't know, issues, maybe not the right phrase, but like what was I just talking about? I'm losing my mind here.
They got to be going five out with some of these lineups.
Right. Yeah, because Perel Hunt, Archambault are not big guys. Bruns is not a big guy. Plitzewhite's not a big guy.
Damani Hayes is 6'4".
Right, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they got to be going. I mean, Comateros has played 27 minutes a game, and you look at their roster. I don't think they have another forward on the roster. There's a Carcolana guy, who I don't know who that is, but he's playing 9.3 minutes a game, and then you got a bunch of guards again. So I'm guessing they're going to try to space you out. Comateros can obviously be around the perimeter, and they're going to try to break you down off the bounce. It'll be important for NDSU to guard the basketball and close out the shooters. Putzaway and Bruns can really shoot the crap out of the ball. And Perot Hunt and Archambault are two guys that are shooting almost 38% from three as well. So going to have to defend the three-point line. 40.6% as a team from the three is very, very good. I don't know if they can keep that up for the whole year, but that's a very good percentage.
Yeah, it absolutely is. They're going to have to guard the three. I didn't think they did a great job guarding the three with South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State missed some open looks, to be honest. And they had some guys that shouldn't have been shooting those open looks, but they're going to have to defend the three differently. Beat BYU. That I think, if I'm just looking from a schedule standpoint, beating BYU down there, that's impressive. You can kind of see the ceiling. And as we mentioned, they've got old friend Paul Bruns, the Summit League Player of the Year, different role, or Summit League Freshman of the Year last year, different role. You know, I think he was carrying a lot of the weight for UND last year and just doesn't have to carry even close to the same load plan for USD. Your thought on Bruns' role with this team?
Yeah, I mean, he was a very good player last year as a freshman, and I think he might turn into a star type player at USD yet, but I think he's excelling having some guards who can distribute him the ball and kind of looking at him to not have to do as much with the ball in his hands. And I think he's really excelling and he's got a bright future. He's a good player who shoots the crap out of the ball. And he's definitely a guy that has the capability of going off for 2025 if he gets enough open looks. And he's someone that NDSU can't let get going, another player that just can't let him get open looks.
No, you can't. You absolutely can. He can shoot the crap out of it. I think folks found that out last year, specifically in the Shaq, my God, that the game in Grand Forks wasn't that competitive, but in the shack, they just let UND hang around and hang around. And it's because that kid was just splashing from everywhere. Impressive kid. And certainly, yeah, I don't know if he'll start or if he'll be a bench weapon, but if he is a bench weapon, he is, that is the word, isn't a weapon. And they're very balanced. Perohunt, Kamateros, and Bruns, all average between 11.3 and, excuse me, Perohunt, Plitzewite, Kamateros, and Bruns all average between 11.3 and 13.3 points a game. I think that's, it's kind of like NDSU a little bit. You know, that's something where, you know, Bowden can get you. Well, Morris can get you. Well, you know, Grant can get you and Jakari can get you. And that's sort of where I do see a little bit of that in this USD team. What I don't see is the length. And I think that is something, you know, with Grant's ability to move and not get killed by these guards on defense, I think there are some real post-up possibilities, because honestly, Kamateros is more of a pick-and-pop European shoot-threes-on-you type guy. Like, there are going to be some open jumpers coming off some double teams, and there's going to be some mismatches in the post, I think. And even, I think Skunberg, if he gets a smaller guy on him, can post up a little bit as well, a la Sam Griesel or Tyson Ward.
I think the interesting thing is going to be also with how many guards they do play. Could be a tough matchup defensively for a guy like Morgan. He's going to have to provide something offensively for Dave to keep him on the floor. I think if USD starts rolling offensively, it might be a time to put Grant at the five and play four other guards. So it's going to be interesting to see the rotations tomorrow, I think, especially if USD gets rolling or Morgan gets rolling in the post. If USD has to send a bunch of double teams because Kamateros is in foul trouble or Morgan's getting going. So I think the rotations and all that with the kind of how the personnel for each team will be interesting tomorrow for sure.
It will. Deep squad too. 11 guys are averaging at least 9 minutes a game, but you mentioned like the top guys are averaging, you know, they're playing Archibald a lot. They're playing Perohunt a lot. Like I mentioned, Plitz is getting a little bit more of a breather, but I would imagine, I'm not staring at it right now, I would imagine that they play Kamateros a ton, because I don't know what their backup what their backup five situation is. Yeah, but Kamateros getting 28 minutes a game. That's pretty significant. I would guess that let's see here. I'm trying to look for height in the program here.
Perlhunt's not bigger than 6'3". Plitzewite's not bigger than 6'3". Bruns, 6'4"-ish.
Yeah, they got a Swedish kid, a Swedish true freshman that's getting some minutes, and then Romanian sophomore that appears to be the backup five at 6'11". International flavor here with the Yotes, if you will.
Yeah, they're very balanced. I mean, six guys, 25 minutes or more. I just calculated it out. 41.1% of their shots are coming from the three. So, I mean, they're going to get up a bunch of threes. So
it is crazy, though, what you're talking about, because you talk about these six guys that are averaging 26 minutes or more. Damani Hayes is 6'4". Archambault is 6 foot. Bruns is 6'4", and I don't even think I believe that. Kamateros is 6'8", Plitzewite is 6'2", and Perohunt is 6'3". Like this team's not big, period. They're just not big.
Yeah, and that's why I think NDSU can take big time advantage and make them send a double into the post.
Absolutely,
and throw it in there and pound them. A guy like, imagine if Kamateros gets in foul trouble, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Andrew Morgan, I mean, what is Bruns going to guard Andrew Morgan in the post? Good luck.
Swedish kids, Romanian kids. That's
bring those skinny kids in so that Andrew Morgan and Grant can put them on a bolster as well.
Right. But yeah, just if you're in town, if you're one of those folks that, you know, made the decision to watch Sunday's football game on TV, that's great. There's a great Summit League matchup in your home arena on Saturday. I understand that a ton of the diehards are in Texas, and we love you too. But as many folks as can get out to the game. It's an exciting product. It's an up and down product. It's a deeper team than we've been used to. I know the record isn't like, oh man, I got to get to the Bison game. I hope after you saw Grant Nelson, you know, dunk on the entire constitution of the state of South Dakota, you find your way to the game. Nate, give me a prediction. What do you got tomorrow?
I hadn't really looked at UST till tonight. NDSU is going to be a team that I think they can defend a three, and I think they're going to be a team that's going to take advantage of the low post. I see NDSU winning this game by 7-8 points. That's going to be my prediction for this one. Let's go 75-68-ish. I think NDSU has been scoring the ball pretty well, and I think they're going to defend well and hit some free throws at the end to hold on.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm right with you, buddy. I think NDSU by 8. I like NDSU to get into the mid-70s. I think by 8 or 10, I think they not necessarily make a statement, but they have their best performance of the game. Nate, I want to thank you for your time tonight, good buddy. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank our sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Big Deck Barbecue. Have a phenomenal rest of your weekend, Bison fans. Go Bison.